For the last few weeks, we've been going through a series, just a Lenten series of preparing ourselves for this coming week, coming up. And the theme of it this year was becoming more like Jesus on the road to Calvary. And we've been walking with Jesus as he journeyed through that time in his life when he was coming to fulfill God's word. On the back of our that you have maybe at home, you'll notice this coming week we have particular scriptures for each day which to focus on, and those scriptures parallel the events each day that last week of Holy Week in Jesus' life. I have on the back of your notes color-coded some of those scriptures so that as you go through each day and what took place on Sunday, supposedly on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday, you can just walk along with Jesus during those times. Tonight I wanted us to look at a verse in scripture from Luke chapter 9. And it's a scripture that as Jesus was speaking to his disciples, he was sharing with them that the Christian life is more long times of discipleship, and he wanted them to understand the opportunity that they had to have walked with him on physically, but also spiritually in the coming days. So I wanted to share this verse, and I printed it in your notes tonight for you to read along there. And then Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "The Christ of God." And he strictly charged and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised." And he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." So as we see how Jesus was speaking openly about those things that were going to take place later in life, he was sharing with them about what it really means to follow him. And sometimes as we've grown up, maybe some of us who have grown up in the church, we thought, well, gee whiz, traditionally to follow Jesus means on Saturday or Sunday or one day during the week, I would need to go to church. I need to be in church. Well, that's what it means. You know, I'll sacrifice going on a picnic or something and just be around other people that know him. And that's a good thing for us to have fellowship with one another, to worship God. But sometimes that always doesn't mean that we're actually following him, because sometimes maybe our heart is far off doing other things. And it can even happen in church where our mind would not be focused on who Christ is, but trying to figure out what we're going to do during the coming week, or just trying to do other things. So Jesus said to take up your cross, to place his will above our own, is something that brings us into that arena of humility and obedience and love and serving other people. So Jesus invites us this week, not only just to observe his journey to the cross, but also for us to participate, to walk with him to the cross. So I wanted us to encourage as we encourage you as you follow along some of these scriptures during the week, that not just to observe from an out from a far away distant point and think, oh, this is a good story, or this was pretty violent in this part, but to think of what Christ would have you do and what that means to pick up your cross daily to follow him. Salvation, and this is the first blank in your outline, salvation is God's gift to us because Jesus died for us on the cross. And we remember, like 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, that Christ became sin. Christ knew no sin in his life, but he became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. And we recognize that God's gift to us is that a spiritual healing and blessing in our life, that we could be free from sin, we could be in a right relationship with God. The second blank is discipleship is our gift to him as we take up our cross and die to ourselves and follow the Lord in everything. So two different gifts in operation at the same time, receiving God's gift to us and then offering him the gift of our relationship and becoming a student of his, of following after him. So how do we keep in step with Jesus as we walk with him during those last few hours of his life? And so I put together this little outline, and it's the first five steps. Maybe that we would take. And it's a step maybe each day that you can focus on in your life. Today is kind of a special day of remembrance as we think of Palm Sunday. And so the first step I put down here is to recognize Jesus as your King, to proclaim the fact that he reigns in your life. And certainly as we would voice it, we could recognize through our heart and through our lifestyle that we live, that we're proclaiming that Jesus is in charge, that he reigns in our life, that he's Lord of our life. And sometimes our relationship, as we think of entering into that relationship with God, we would term, well, I recognize Jesus as my Savior, but he's not quite Lord of everything. I haven't given him control of, I haven't released unto him just everything. He has a portion of my life, but some things I'm still holding on to. Have you ever experienced that in your life, that you want to be submissive to him so that he could bless you in a greater way, but there's some barrier there that keeps you there? He came to bring us peace, peace in relationship with God and peace in relationship with other people. As we would look at these scriptures there from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Is it in John? Could be in John too. That the I didn't bring that up. But we look at those scriptures and we think that Jesus was proclaimed as the anointed one, as the Christ that would come. How did Jesus ride into your life? You know, you think, well, sometimes he might have come into your life on a chariot of fire, you know, flipping down. This is perhaps one of John's favorite donkey scriptures, that Jesus came into that place on as a symbol of peace, and came on a donkey. And we recognize the entrance of Jesus into our life. We recognize the opportunity of praise and worship and things that he had conquered on our behalf, and how exciting that is in our life to proclaim that Jesus is King. So many scriptures in the Bible point to that. There's some 332 scriptures, a lot of them messianic scriptures that are in the Bible. In fact, I have a handout for you, another handout. You could almost have had a book tonight, but my wife said I shouldn't have worked on a big old book, so I just a 4-page document that you have. So I have the events on your handout. I have the events Sunday through Thursday, and then I have the events on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, if you would like that. But I also have the last few hours of Jesus' life, the Old Testament scriptures that are in the Bible, and the New Testament fulfillment of those scriptures. So those are available for you to take home and to look at. There's so many scriptures that point to Jesus, and people wonder, well, is Jesus really the Son of God? Can it really be true that one person could fulfill all those scriptures? Well, I put it down a little statistic there. For example, that if Jesus fulfilled 48 prophecies, and of course there's many more than that, it would be like the probability of him doing that would be 1 followed by 157 zeros. And that's pretty outstanding. If we would just take 8 scriptures, it would be like, for Jesus to fulfill them, it'd be like 1 with 17 zeros behind them. It's greater the odds than playing the lottery, they say. And it could be that people yet do things with a higher probability. But Jesus came. He was the one that God sealed his stamp of approval on and said, "This is my Son, whom I'm well pleased." Jesus came in. Truly, as we think about his last week, as he was going to his coronation and as a King of Life, that we recognize his power and his grace. The second step I wanted us to think about this week, and that will be the scripture for tomorrow, is that Jesus purified the house. One of the things that as he came to Jerusalem that evening, he went to the temple. After getting off the donkey and all the hoopla of praise and worship, he went to the temple and was kind of checking it out. And because it was late in the evening, he left and went on. But the next day, he went and he saw something that he was upset about. And we recognize the demonstration of that took place. The religious leaders were using worship of God to cover up sin in their life. That sin was happening right in the house of God. And we recognize that Jesus proclaims to us today the importance in making a step toward Calvary is to recognize that we need to clean the house. Some of us, as I think about some of the things I need to do in my garage, and sometimes, oh yeah, I need to clean. There's some areas that I need. Well, Jesus wasn't just talking about the physical thing. He was speaking to us about our hearts, our lives. And sometimes as you go through your house, you'll notice a room full of resentment or bitterness or indifference or I don't care attitude, or I want to distance myself from individuals. And what Jesus said, that the heart has to change, that the Jesus brought cleansing, and he wanted to for us to recognize that in our life. So the road to the cross not only recognizes his authority and power in our life, but we see in the scriptures here the purification of our hearts. The third point I wanted us to see, and this we will examine on Wednesday or Tuesday, is the Greeks wanted to see Jesus. And I picked that particular scripture out because it was an interesting point of reference to me, that Jesus' disciples just didn't have Jewish names, but some of them had Greek names. And I think sometimes the name that we carry sometimes maybe opens up a door to conversation, you know, with people. That sometimes our, if I had a name and a foreign accent of a person from different country, you might be drawn to me just, you know, because Guten Tag, Louis, the gates to the food to the Africa. I was speaking, I'd be talking to you a little bit in German. Now I know some of you speak German, and so that's kind of fun to visit around. But we find sometimes as we meet people and talk with people, we find that they want to see Jesus. And the way that people see Jesus is the way that we behave or talk or speak. And so the excitement here was Andrew. He's always bringing someone to Jesus. It could be a young kid with some food, but here he's bringing Philip. And here we find a wonderful scripture of how people are not just seeking after a sign, but are seeking after a relationship, of seeking Jesus in their life. And sometimes we want to give them a whole bunch of signs and different things, and what they really want to know is what we know about Jesus and how he cares for us. Today, on that verse, as you read through that verse of people wanting to see Jesus, be sensitive to the people that you come around, because at the foot of the cross, the ground is level. We're all on the same level. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And coming to the foot of the cross, we recognize that God accepts each of us in a relationship with him. So the first blank there, first step, recognize Jesus as your king. Purify the house, your life. Desire to seek Jesus in your life, not just a sign around you. And then number four, to remain in fellowship with God. Make sure of your walk. So remain in fellowship with God and make sure of your walk. This is kind of a great passage that we always remember. You know, that it's the foot washing time and remembrance of how Jesus was meeting with his disciples. We recognize the unity that we can find with God, but that sin in our life breaks that sense of unity and breaks that communion that we can have with God. I was thinking of the other day, this happened about 10 years ago. There was a man that he was a pastor here in the area, and he came to my house one day, and he knocked on the door, and he said, I'm just going around just going around town and visiting the pastors here in the area. And he said, Steve, I would like to come into your house and wash your feet. And, oh, I was doing like Peter, you know. Lord, you aren't, oh no, you can't, you aren't going to do this, you know. And he said, God told me to come in and wash your feet. And so we sat down there in the house, and he knelt down, and he had some water in one of those gallon jugs and poured it into the basin, and he started to wash my feet, and he started to talk with me about things that I could have been troubled by. And I don't know how I knew it, but those things were going on in my life. And I was thinking, as he was doing that, there's something going on here that Jesus knew what I needed, and he sent someone for me to have fellowship with, and someone wanted to see. Remember what Peter said? Peter said, Lord, you are not going to wash my feet. And the word came back to him, Peter, unless I wash your feet, you have no part of me. And so Peter says, okay, Lord, wash everything. Wash my head. Wash my hands. Wash me. And certainly that is something that happens in our life when we recognize that something's missing and we need Jesus' anointing in our life. What do our feet stand for? Anyway, back in the Jewish day, they had maybe communal baths or something. You know, they had places that they could wash themselves. Especially in the Old Testament, we read stories of how they had people had to deal with sin, had to go out and wash themselves and then wait till after sundown and come back in. Well, we recognize in this scripture how important it is to have our feet washed. How our walk. It's not just the things that we would confess in with our lips, but our feet, that our feet are walking where Jesus would desire us to walk. Is there something, maybe as you look at, think of God's word today, that God's word is pointing out that maybe there's an area of your walk, maybe it's something that you have professed to in your life as far as something in valued in your relationship with God, and yet you're hindered in accomplishing it because of an attitude of a heart or a thought. As I think and examine the scriptures, there's almost a day that goes by that God is not telling me something specifically that we need to correct or change. Wanted to share this verse, and you might write it down in your Bibles. It's Titus. Let's see if I can find Titus. You might find it quicker than I am. You guys that have Timothy, Titus, boom. Verse 3. John's looking. I was going to give you guys a chance to look. Titus 3, 5, and 6. I found it. Okay. It says, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So it's that verse shares with us, you know, the concept of through his Holy Spirit, the washing of the word in our life and the working of the Holy Spirit that can take place. I wanted to encourage you today that when there's a time of cleansing in life. Allow that cleansing to happen in your life, and just in a using the Word of God to in an anointing way in your life. Day number five, which is Thursday, coming up on Thursday. It's a day for us to remember a whole bunch of things that happened on that day. We could remember communion. We could remember the aspect of Jesus inviting us to share in the cup, a new covenant, that we would be bound to God's love and grace in a certain way. And certainly on our way to way of sorrows, we're going to give you an opportunity to walk with Jesus on that night and on Friday. So we want to encourage you to come and to interactively participate in this. But the scripture that I chose is John 17. And it was an intercessory prayer that Jesus was speaking. And he shared in the first part of that prayer with his disciples. He had drawn his disciples away, and they were in a private setting. And he was sharing his heart with them. And he was sharing them with them this particular prayer. So he was praying for himself at the beginning, and he was praying about God's glory, that it would be restored to him. We remember Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11, how it said that Jesus didn't count it, you know, equality with God, something important. Rather, he humbled himself, took the form of a servant, and became obedient to the cross. But we recognize, as we think of that position, that here Jesus was with God in glory and with him, and he became a human being and took a form of a servant, and he became someone to show us ministry of what it would be like. Well, in this particular prayer, he says, "Now, God, I want it back. I want your glory in my life." And so he was getting, he was instructing his disciples that in a few short moments, he was going to be leaving them and gaining the Father's presence in his life. There's a lot of times when, you know, God created us to have his glory in our life. I like Romans 3:23. It says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory." And sometimes our sin breaks that communion, that relationship with God. So what God was sharing with Jesus at this point, as they were praying together, was that he soon would have the glory in his, it'd be returned to him. Also during that prayer, as you come to that Thursday, when you're looking through this scripture of John 17, I'd like you to think about how he was praying for his disciples. He was praying for them that they might be protected, that they might be kept, that God was going to keep them in his relationship with them. He's been praying that all that Jesus had was going to be theirs, and it was going to be kept for glory. What a powerful scripture that is. But he also talked about how they were going to be sanctified by the truth of the Word of God, that they were going to be separated unto him, that they could be his. Wanted to close our session today with the verses 20 through 26. So if you have your New Testament's with you, John 17, beginning with verse 20 down through 26. It says, Jesus said, "My prayer is not for them alone, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. So just not for us, he's not just praying for us, but also for those whom we're going to proclaim, whom we're going to share Jesus with. He said, my prayer is for them, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them glory that you gave me, and they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those who have, those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory that you have given me because you have loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world doesn't know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love that you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. As I was thinking of that, how special is that in our life, how the Father loves us in a special way, that and the Son loves us, that he wants to be in us. And so the last point in your outline is that we need to allow Jesus to live his life through us. That the opportunity that we have to be involved in the words that Jesus has given to us, be separated from the things of the world, and to be daily growing in a relationship with his word, we find the power and the blessing of the presence of God. And it all happens on the road to Calvary, where we could say, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ that lives within me. So as you reflect on these biblical truths, I want to give you a blessing as you would go. These accounts are full of the blessing of taking up our cross daily and following him. Father God, we thank you for this season that we, the year, we just don't think about the narrative of being distant and glancing at the story, but we recognize that you want us to walk with you toward Calvary. We thank you that you've given us an opportunity to grow in our understanding of your word, that it becomes alive within us as we seek you. Help us to see you. Help us to know your presence and your power in our daily life. We thank you for the joy that you've prepared for us, that we could honor you and bless you. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. May the love of God and the fellowship that we have in Jesus be with us. May his Holy Spirit grant us strength daily.